But like you pointed out, we've had some wild swings in the past couple of days in particular. Yet, here's the thing, is that let's take a look at our 6 month here. I mean, this is a stunning move. I believe the move we saw on Monday when the futures were up about 150 bucks, not on a percentage basis, but I think that's the largest one ever on an outright dollar basis. Look at this here, Alexander. We got August 18th. The price of gold was 33.58, the low.
Yeah.
So we just passed October 18th. So gold went up $1,000 in 2 months. Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcade Economics on Wednesday, October 22nd. Unfortunately, we have a nice treat for you in store today. Because earlier today, with all the activity going on in the silver market, recorded an interview with Alexander Horat of the Free American Press Channel. Now, some of you longtime viewers may remember we had Alexander on about 5 years ago. He was a guest on the Arcadia Channel, and he told me today he's 22. And I remember back then he's a bit younger than many silver analysts, although I thought he knew more back then than any central banker or politician I've ever heard speak. And as I think you'll see here, it's really exciting because, especially at such a young age, to have as much knowledge as he does and talk about the gold and silver markets like an experienced veteran. And he had me on his show today. So let's play that one for you now.
Hello, everyone. This is the Free American Press with your host, Alexander Horat. And today we're joined by Chris Marcus of Arcadia Economics. He is a deep voice in the precious metals world, especially in silver. He has a unique perspective in the gold and silver market. Hello, Chris. Thank you for joining us.
Alexander, it's quite a pleasure to see you again. I sure enjoyed first time we talked, which I think was about 5 years ago, and I apologize we haven't kept in touch, but I was really happy to get your email. And like I was saying before we started, I can't even imagine what new tricks you've developed since then, and just nice to see you and happy to be here today.
Well, I really appreciate that, Chris. And I think our talk 5 years ago was really good. And I'm glad that we got in touch again. So we're seeing some big things happening right now in the gold and silver market. We see that gold and silver has recently reached a historic rally. But for the last couple of days, we've seen gold and silver dip quite a bit. So that leads me to my question. So what's your forecast for gold and silver for the rest of this year, by the end of the year?
Well, I will give you an answer that probably some people won't like, but I would imagine the main thing that you can safely say is that we're probably going to have some incredibly volatile conditions. So, as you quite correctly pointed out, and I'm going to pull up our pricing here today so that people can see how it's looking as of Wednesday, the 22nd in October. Gold all over the map was down even more earlier today. Silver hanging in there. But like you pointed out, we've had some wild swings in the past couple of days in particular. Yet, here's the thing, is that let's take a look at our 6 month here. I mean, this is a stunning move. I believe the move we saw on Monday when the futures were up about 150 bucks, not on a percentage basis, but I think that's the largest one ever on an outright dollar basis. Look at this here, Alexander. We got August 18th. The price of gold was 33.58, the low.
Yeah.
So we just passed October 18th. So gold went up $1,000 in 2 months.
That's
And one of the things that I thought was pretty stunning, and I'm fortunate to have actually been following this back in 2011, so got to see what that one was like. I mean, just the way gold and silver at times this past year in particular, they go up the next day, they go up the day after that, then a couple more days, and you're thinking like, all right, well, even if it's still going to go up, you'd probably expect some sort of sell-off or correction. And, finally that came over the last couple of days. It was a large one. But I mean, you've had, I mean, maybe on a, I don't know if there's an outright winner, but like what we, I think this, especially with silver, we've hit a new all-time high. This is like, in some senses, stacks above what we saw in 1980 and what we saw in 2011. And I'll let me pull up the silver chart so I can show you just the extent of that move, which has been just as rapid and stunning, especially in these past couple months. When I might add, the last leg of these rallies here, this has also happened while the dollar index has been rising. So it's not like the dollar has been getting clobbered and why we see silver going up. And we'll see if we can get the chart there. All right, so we look, let's go back here. This is July 30th. Silver was down to $36, so it got up to 53, 54. $17 move in 2 months. It's pretty big. So at some point you're gonna have a correction, and if it can go up that quickly and rapidly, I'm not saying, I wouldn't say you should or what you have to, but I would expect that when the sell-offs come, they're gonna sometimes look like what they did earlier this week and on Friday of last week. And whether I hear sometimes people say, well, I don't want to see silver or gold go up too fast. And okay, that's fine. But what you or I or anybody else wants may or may not be relevant here. The markets work the way they work, and are they perfect? Are there flaws with the setup? Yes, you could make that case, but is there inappropriate behavior that goes on? Yes, we've seen that. We've seen the fines, although at some point it's like, all right, well, we're here. Given that this is what is likely to happen, how do I make the best decisions? So, anyway, long answer to your question, but I expect a lot of volatility. I've noticed a lot of talk of people saying, all right, silver finally broke 50, so now we're going to hit 100 by Christmas. Now, given the situation that we have with what even the LBMA has termed as not a dislocation, according to Bloomberg, they're saying this isn't just silver's in the wrong place. Bloomberg said, according to their source at the LBMA, familiar with their thinking, that they think it's a shortage. So, do you have a wide range of outcomes that are possible? And could you see a spike, maybe even more significant? There are paths where that can happen, yet also, when I see people saying, like, oh, now it's finally over 50, I'm going to pile in and buy so I catch it before it goes to 100. Is that possible? Yes. But keep in mind that when you're buying over 50, you're also buying at the all-time record high that many people waited 45 years for that to occur. So I think there will be pullbacks and sell-offs along the way. With that said, and we can dig into this more, but when you look at what's happening, especially with the Trump administration, especially with the trade wars, and I think whether it's Trump or whoever comes in next, you still have this hollowed out manufacturing base that needs to be rebuilt. And because of some of the ways that that would have to happen, I do think that we're kind of at a point where the gold price over the next year, 5, 10 years is going to have to go up more because of what is going to have to happen to all of these bondholders. And silver, I expect, will go along with that. So, do I think we're going back to $20 silver for the next decade? No, I think there's a variety of reasons that's virtually impossible. But, if you told me silver was at $42 next month, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me it was at $62 next month, I wouldn't be shocked. And I think over the longer term, if you're saying, all right, I have, let's say someone has, their retirement money saved or $1 million or $5 million or $100,000, and they say, I want to make sure that, this is something that is savings for a longer term. I think in 5 or 10 years, you have an incredibly good chance that the gold and silver prices have gone higher than they are today. But anyone who claims to be able to tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, I would personally just be a little cautious of that. And I say that after having done a show where I've talked to everyone outside of Santa Claus who will talk about gold and silver, and we're in uncharted territory. But those are hopefully some guidelines to at least give you an idea of what may be coming, and let me know if there's anyone in there you'd like me to try and clear up further.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. It is kind of hard to say a specific price on what it's going to be for at the end of the year. So I definitely get your thoughts on whether it's going to be $62 or $42. It's going to really be driven by the market. But what I did hear you mention was the LBMA. So that actually brings me to my next question. Is there any indication that LBMA will fail due to supply stress?
Yeah, we've gotten plenty of indications of that happening, not the least of which is the way that the spread between the London futures silver price and the spot, London, sorry, COMEX futures price and the London spot price has diverged. And I appreciate you brought that up because I was just going to say that, all right, well, that's a great range there, Chris. 42 to 62. Well, it's kind of like it depends because basically London got short squeezed. I wouldn't say that we have a shortage of silver in the world, but there are certain areas that don't have it, of which India does have a shortage there.
Right.
Now, I think it's becoming more appropriate to call what's happening in London a shortage. And when I mention the spreads, let me pull this up and we can explain that so that everybody watching can get this, because it's not going to be as complex as you might think. Where it says silver, that's in DEC 25, that's the December futures. And this XAG USD you can use as the spot price. Normally, the futures trade over the spot price. You're delaying delivery, but you get the interest savings and you don't have to pay, or there's the storage difference versus if you take spot silver, then you have to store it now. So in normal conditions, the spot price will be higher than, or the futures price will be higher than the spot price to account for that. Make sense so far?
Yeah.
And if anything you need to, if it's not clear, just interrupt me and let me know so we can make sure everyone gets this.
Sounds good.
Now, what happened recently is that the spot price, which normally trades below the futures, started rising and inverted. It's in what's called backwardation. And part of that is because in London, they're free float. This is where the physical market is. I'm sure you've heard about it. I've been talking about on my show how it's been getting into the danger territory. The amount of silver available to underpin the London spot market was getting into the danger zone. Banks were writing about it. And then about a month or so ago, ahead of the Indian festival season, there was a real surge there in the midst of an already fragile situation after all the metal had gone from London over to New York because of the whole tariff mess. And that brought us into the tipping point. So this spread here, where usually, and it'll narrow as you get closer to the expiration, but I mean, it's something like 10 or 20 or 25 cents with the futures over the spot price. But the spot price started rising over the futures, got backwardated. Now, backwardation is not normal, but if the spot price goes 30 cents over the futures, I mean, that's kind of like, hey, something's going on here. It
Yeah.
didn't stop at 30 cents. And then 2 weeks ago on October 9th, remember, we're posting our morning show. The spot price had gotten inverted $1.20 over. And again, since normally the futures are over, that's really $1.40 or $1.50 out of line. And I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, wow, that's a bit shocking. And then an hour later, it's 250 over.
Wow.
And that's when I'm like, I think something has broken here. Interestingly, a week after that, I have a friend who told me he had heard a rumor that there had been a failure to deliver in the silver market to JP Morgan. He was not sure although he's someone that is well connected with people in the industry, and he was clarifying he was not sure. But then last week saw some more confirmation of some sort of event like that. And then Alexander, well, if you might be as kind to read this paragraph I'm going to pull up here, because I think that this was something that, if anyone is following the silver market, might be one of the most significant things in the history of silver market. It was published by Bloomberg on Saturday. Actually, would you mind? You want to read it, or I can read
Sure,
it?
I can read it. That's
Okay,
fine.
take it away. I think you'll enjoy this one and the highlighted part under Breaking the Squeeze.
The silver market is known for its wild swings, and on past occasions, the market regulators have stepped in. The Hunt brothers' attempted corner in 1980 was broken when the main exchanges prevented traders from taking new positions, allowing them only to liquidate. In 1998, after Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Inc. bought the equivalent of about a quarter of the world's annual mine output and triggered a squeeze in London, the London Bullion Market Association changed its rules to accept metal that would be delivered to a vault within 15 days rather than the usual 45-day window. The LBMA doesn't see the need to take similar action now because it views the current squeeze as the result of genuinely short supplies of silver rather than due to logistical bottlenecks as occurred in 1998, according to a person familiar with its thinking.
So, go ahead.
The LBMA doesn't see the need to take similar action now because it views the current squeeze as the result of genuinely short supplies of silver rather than due to the logistical bottlenecks as occurred in 1998, according to a person familiar with its thinking.
So, this was on Bloomberg, wasn't, like those magazine racks at the supermarket. Tabloids. According to a person familiar with their thinking, unless they're bullshitting there, this is the LBMA saying that this isn't due to logistical bottlenecks. It's not that we have the silver here. And so, as this was developing, I mean, because that's the thing I was wondering, and again, running a silver channel, I know to be careful about using words like shortage, because want people to have good information, understand what's going on. I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything. And at first, when it was that same October 9th, the day that it broke, we also had the reports coming out of India that they didn't have enough silver, and they have ETFs there too, similar to SLV. And people wanted to buy more shares, but they didn't have the silver to add. And in the articles, there were a couple that said basically the same thing. Well, there's no, we don't have the silver now, but we're expecting it in the next shipment. So is it possible we have a shortage? Yes, but do we have enough information at that point to confirm it? Well, I don't know. If they, if it's on the next truck and you start. Okay, but that was October 9th. And then Alexander, check out this part. This was the other wild thing. Around 2 weeks ago, JP Morgan, the largest precious metals trader and an important supplier to the Indian market, told at least one of its clients that it had no more silver available to deliver to India for the month of October, and the soonest it could offer supplies was in November. So,
Wow, that's really big. Like that.
what's that?
I was just saying that actually brought me to my next question. So, could you tell us more about this India shortage? Because India has the most people in the whole entire world. It's a huge, massive economy. So, to see a shortage in India seems to be like a really big deal to me.
Yeah, I would think so too. And here, fortunately, we have they talk about the situation became so severe, Kodak decided to halt new subscriptions to its silver fund. Similar funds run by UTI and State Bank of India also followed suit. And you hear it's interesting. They had some great quotes from people local in the Indian market. Most people are dealing silver, and silver coins are literally out of stock because the silver is not there. haven't seen this in my 27-year career. You can great article for people to check out. And if you don't have a Bloomberg subscription, if you copy and paste the title, there's a version you could get. This was one of the wilder silver articles in history. And yeah, I mean, they were buying a lot of silver. What's further interesting is that India has the reputation, and because traditionally they're a price sensitive buyer, they buy when the price goes down, and when prices start spiking, they usually are a seller. So it's like, not only are they buying a lot of silver, it's just now they're getting into their festival season. And Alexander Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. So they've been learning about, I guess you like to get Lakshmi some silver and gold, and they've been getting Lakshmi a lot of silver and gold, to the point where they ate through the supply and the LBMA didn't have more to send. So that's why you saw the LBMA spot price kept rising. And when it went far enough above the futures, now since that October 9th date, metal has been leaving the COMEX again. People, in case some don't know, when there were the uncertainty with the tariffs earlier this year, a huge amount of gold and both gold and silver came from London to New York because they're worried, well, if there's a tariff placed on this, it's going to get more expensive. So that's what started this. And London was already, I mean, they've been seeing their stockpile go down for the last 4 years now. But then you had the tariff thing, brought a lot of the metal over. Then also a lot of another driving factor, there's been a lot of metal going into those ETFs, especially over the past year. And then you add the Indian thing on, and that kind of was the break point. And then as that's why you saw that spread invert. And I might add, when I said that I thought something broke in the market that day, I think it's safe to say that was correct. And here you see a couple months later, sold out panic in London, how the silver market broke. And if you go through that, you can hear a variety of traders and industry folks saying as much. So when that broke and the price went that much higher, then you started seeing people taking metal out of the COMEX and sending it back to London. And now we're in a situation where we're waiting to see where it all ends up. I haven't seen any update of India getting back online yet. I would assume some of the metal that left the COMEX is, first I was thinking, we'll go back to London and then to India. Could also go directly to India. I mean, that'll be the next thing to see, when does India come back online or what happens next there. I would ballpark, we're probably about 25 to 30 million ounces have left the COMEX in these past 2 weeks. Is that a long-term fix? I tend to think not. And at least according to Bloomberg, the LBMA says no as well. And in terms of, well, all right, if we really get into an issue, what does that look like? People often use the example of like an Apple or a Samsung not having the silver to manufacture their products. Well, the Royal Mint was talking about delays last week, and maybe they're not your traditional product manufacturer. I mean, silver is still their input cost for the thing they're selling. And if the Royal Mint can't get silver, and India can't get silver, and if Bloomberg is quoting accurately, their sources on the LBMA, and they're saying they think this is a genuine shortage and not a dislocation, then going back to when started with the Indian thing, where it's like, all right, is the metal out of place or have we actually reached a shortage? I guess it depends what happens with how much of that metal leaves the COMEX, but unless more of that leaves, I mean, it's starting to see something that is a bigger, significant problem and has not been resolved yet.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you think we could see the fall of the LBMA, and could the rise of BRICS commodity exchanges like Shanghai or Moscow's metal markets bypass the LBMA COMEX structure and reposition the price of silver and gold?
Could we see it? I mean, I think we're already seeing that.
Yeah.
I have a colleague Vince Lancey from Goldfix, who does a morning show on our channel each day, and he's talked a lot about how China has also been building a vaulting network, not just in China, but in many of the other BRICS nations, so that you can actually facilitate trade flows. And he had something this morning about how now silver is getting lumped in with that. What was it last year when Russia mentioned that they were working on an exchange? Yeah, you're seeing it happen. And that's why, I mean, if you're running a hedge fund and you're trading the daily moves in SLV, okay, that's one thing. But if you're a gold and silver stacker, shall we say, and you're thinking, how am I protecting myself through what is to come? I mean, you see it happening now. I tend to be a bit conservative just because I know there's that tendency, if you talk about gold and silver and people call you a pumper, well, I'm not trying to pump anything. I've always felt like to give the best information is the goal. So I remember maybe about a month ago, and I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, things rallying, but we might just be in the early innings. And I'm like, it's possible. I don't know that. Although, as we've gone on here, I think the other key piece if you add in here, Luke Gromen does a brilliant job of pointing this out. So I'll give him the credit for if I get this explanation just right. But I mean, if you make it, actually, you could simplify it. Basically, the bondholders are going to get stiffed. I mean, it's not confusing that in case you had any mysteries of whether the government was going to rein in spending, repay the budget, I think when Elon Musk actually went in there with great fanfare and then stomped out a couple months later after and some of the stuff he found was egregious fraud. And yet, what didn't they have like a court, prevent them from stopping any of the fraud? So if you think that's going to be a problem, and if you think that we're to the point now where we need to reshore manufacturing, especially when things aren't going so well with China and Russia and some of these bigger powers. And you continue to hear these stories about how it's like, yeah, well, we might want to go to war, but we're gonna have to ask China for some rare earths. And are they gonna give it to them to use so that we can go to war against them? These are some of the problems that are gonna come up, that are not going to come up, that are coming up. Okay, so you want to reshore, you want to build data centers for AI. What is it? I forget which energy agency it was. It says we need to double or triple the electrical grid by 2028. I'm like, 2028? That's back when I was in college, that seemed a far ways off. But okay, all this stuff that they want to do, including, I saw that recently the US Treasury is now guaranteeing Argentinian debt. So now we're selling treasuries to buy pesos, which
Yeah, it's
kind
crazy.
of seems like you can see where this is heading. And in the end, what is the way to fund that? Well, I think Alexander, I'm not going to be breaking any scoops on that one. You've been pretty clear. I remember 5 years ago we talked about it, and now the end of the day, what are they going to do? Let the treasury market fail, or is the Fed going to buy more? Well, they're already talking about it's time to end quantitative tightening. They're lowering interest rates. Couple of months, Trump's going to bring someone in who's going to lower interest rates even faster, which personally, I think he should just choose Bernanke. He would be the man for the job. But
Yeah, so how do
all
you?
this wealth is going to come from somewhere. And then add on that, Stephen Miron, the Trump's chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, who wrote his thesis on how to restructure the global trading system, which was a 41-page document that talked ad nauseum about the overvalued dollar, just like every other member of the administration, except for maybe J.D. Vance when he was campaigning and talked about how Kamala Harris was going to run inflation like crazy and you got to protect the value of a dollar. But aside from that, they've talked about lowering the dollar. The dollar has gotten absolutely clobbered since they've come in, which I don't think is an accident. And to achieve what they want to achieve, to balance these flows that keep sending more debt here to buy foreign products. How do you adjust that? Well, whether it's done within a plan and intent, or whether the markets do it for you, it's going to be a lower dollar over time. And this isn't even just against gold. I mean, this is, the dollar's gotten pummeled against the other chunk currencies like the yen and the euro that make up that dollar index. So if it's down 15% in half a year against the other Ponzi scheme currencies, but that's what you have to do to get the system adjusted. And that's why the people who are holding those bonds are going to get clobbered and continue to get clobbered, and why money is going into gold. And now, maybe 5 years ago, we were talking about how one day that might happen. We don't have to talk about one day. We're seeing it happen.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. So, do you think with them lowering interest rates, which that's what they're planning on doing, you think that will raise the gold and silver market?
I mean, it already has. And I
Yeah.
think that was when they finally started the cuts a couple months ago. And was that just last month? Seems like a while ago. But then they also indicated they're going to have more cuts than expected. Which, Alexander, wouldn't you say that's a little bit of an unusual plan, where if you had that transitory inflation that went over 2% in April of 2021, has been over the Fed's mandate for 4 years now, is now accelerating again? And I think it's, well, I don't need to wait for the government to open back up to get CPI and PPI. I mean, I think there's enough with common sense. You can see it's accelerating again, and their plan to fix that is to lower interest rates and then have Trump bring in someone who's going to lower interest rates faster. And even Jerome Powell recently admitted, he's like, well, it could, it turns out, actually, it could be inflationary. Alexander, I know you were aware of that before they started all this crap. And this time they're telling you what they're going to do. They told you they were going to lower the dollar. Actually, I have a great, ooh, you should, maybe you could interview Michael McNair. I'll put you in touch with him, Alexander. He'd love you. And
Okay.
he's done a great thesis on the ways in which the administration has already been influencing the dollar lower.
Yeah.
So, whether this is a formal reset and is used to reevaluate debt, I think that's possible. I think there's a lot of things possible, but usually politicians, they often lie. Although this time they told you what is coming, and I think you can believe this one, because not only did they say it, but when you look at what they're trying to do, they need it, and they're going to get it. They're already getting it. And unless you've reached the point where now the military can't function under this system, you're
Yeah.
losing the ability for the US to effectively go to war. That's why you're seeing the Treasury. Now they're investing in mining companies. They're investing in rare earth companies, and they're talking about silver is about, I believe it's just a formality now that it was added to the draft list of critical minerals, which one step away from approval from officially being a critical mineral.
Yeah, it's crazy. What do you think of the US government shutdown? Do you think that's affecting the gold and silver market at all, or not really?
I don't think it's a zero impact. I don't know if it's the driving impact, but I mean, here it is now, like in the middle of this, you don't have COT reports, you don't have the data and labor reports. I mean, I think it's all of these are another brick in the wall, where the things that stack on, like Elon Musk, that was a data point. The government shutdown that Bloomberg regularly refers to, what Wall Street calls the debasement trade. That's like the trendy thing now.
Yeah.
It's becoming mainstream to be like to realize that this is the problem that, Alexander, you realized a long time ago, but you know how slow politicians and Wall Street professionals can be. So maybe They should send you a thank you card since you've mapped all this out on your channel for all of these Wall Street trading desks to finally understand what's going on, which I think is quite generous of you. And but when you get to the point where to function the way governments are used to functioning, which includes the military, includes all the other things they spend on, that's breaking down. So now we've You were probably a little younger. You may not remember 10 or 15 years ago too well when, people like me and the future you would be saying, well, one day this is going to come to a head, or there's a shelf life on this. We're reaching that shelf life.
Yeah,
The
I
BRICS half
definitely.
of the world is making their preparations to move away from that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So that drives me to my next question. So, what geopolitical events may be affecting the gold and silver market, in your opinion, right now?
Well, I got a couple that come to mind. First, I mean, the de-dollarization movement, which really accelerated back in early 2022 when Russia was sanctioned and then kicked out of the SWIFT system. And if you want your real black swan, which is coming a little bit of a fatter tail there. What was it, a week or two, or a couple of weeks ago, where there was an article saying that the Trump administration, I guess they had given Ukraine intelligence on energy targets that they could strike in Russia. And at least according to Reuters, they said that they were also even thinking about supplying the missiles. And Alexander, would you be shocked to hear that Vlad was in? It's like, how did. Whether you like Vlad or not, if you're sitting here and saying, all right, well, if we do this, what is this guy going to do? And he basically said, probably wouldn't do that. He's already his foreign minister, I believe it is, Sergey Lavrov, has said they already consider that NATO has created a state of war between them and Russia.
Yeah.
The Europeans, who seem to, at least according to Martin Armstrong, they seem very intent. They believe they're going to break up Russia through the various steps they're implementing. I don't know that they would be success. I think they're a lot less likely to be successful than they might think they are. But they've also talked about the money that was frozen, just confiscating that to rebuild Ukraine. I understand there's many different views on what's right or not, but I'm just from the financial perspective that. You're very, very close to some things here. I mean, quite a shift from the campaign trail where Trump was saying, hey, I'll end the war in a day. And something has changed drastically. It's another conversation of the who's right or not, but just saying it's gone from something that. It was went through my thought process when this was the first election I voted in for a while because I think you're often voting between two different cons. And so the idea that, because I think that, yeah, is it a, I think it's an important event. Oh, yeah, we don't go to World War III and it's nuclear. Yeah, I guess that's an important event. So, but it's that's, in terms of geopolitics, that's at the top of the list. Obviously, the Middle East is not getting along that nicely now. And so there's a lot going on out there. And I think this is a challenging time for many people, especially the people who are directly affected by it. Although, just if anyone's reading the news, some heavy shit going on. And I think it sometimes. What a tragedy and a failure it is that all these people who make these plans across various countries, various time periods, that there's not some ability in there to say, all right, well, we're here. How do we avoid doing that? But when you get into that thinking, well, you did this last year and I'm going to get my pound of flesh, and you did this, the other side says, well, you did this year before that. And I'm going to get my pound of flesh. And then each time Israel and Iran send missiles at each other, You get a little more hardened resentment, which either here I'll real brain buster. Either it's going to stop or it's going to continue forever. One of the two.
Right.
So you wish that there was all these people who go and campaign and say, I'm dedicating my life to public service, and you wish you could see that play out. And if I can add one last interesting and addendum, and I'll phrase this one right now to get either of us in trouble, but given that guy who had his island, that was interesting. With all the things that have come out, nobody government seems to be trying too hard to find out more, because it seems like there's a high, reasonable to extremely high chance that blackmail was part of this. And I remember recently thinking of, sometimes when you see a politician, they say one thing when they campaign and then they get in, and it's like, man, that guy seems like he sold out quickly. And I don't know specifics by all means, thank God. Yet, just the way this actually, I think, relates to the markets is that, yeah, there's all this stuff that you think should happen, yet are there some people that are going out there saying this, saying that, and are completely owned, controlled, and have something that is being used to blackmail them, that whatever they say, they're going to do something different? And it's like, again, and I don't know where specifically that pops up, but it's something in the back of my mind that at least at times I'm like, well, maybe if that factored in this situation, yeah, it actually kind of makes more sense if you see it with that in the context. Does that you make get what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot of geopolitical things going on right now, and I was wanting to get your thoughts on what's going on in Venezuela, which is the has the biggest oil reserves in the world, rare earth minerals, and we see the US has recently deployed its navy off their off the border in the Caribbean with 10,000 troops. So I want to get your thoughts on that, and where do you think that's going, and how that'll affect the gold and silver market.
I mean, I wouldn't claim to know the inner dynamics. I remember the first time I heard it, I was wondering, did someone try and blow up one of the Bush's or Clinton's cocaine boats out of there? Any of those areas where the US government is always meddling. And I remember there was some quirky stuff with the Venezuelan gold and the Bank of England, a couple of years back. Anytime you're talking about one of these times where the US is deciding who's recognized as president or not,
Yeah.
and then I mean, I haven't dug into that one, but I'm guessing, if you started searching around, then you find out, oh, well, the CIA guy popped up here, and then this guy there, and it seemed sketchy. But I mean, at minimum, certainly just like another thing out there that's, I don't know that that's driving the gold market, I would say, but just to the degree, like, another brick you're stacking on there of just stuff where, and I think there is an impact to the price. Yes, the central bank's buying, yes, the thing with the silver, but also, I mean, I don't know, I guess everyone thinks it's a chaotic time in their day, but it seems like there's a lot of tension out there, and that people aren't playing nicely. And I don't think it just seems like that. I mean, we're seeing an era of globalization change.
Yeah.
And part of it is that, like, some of this stuff, I know people want to hear, like, well, is this going to go up or down next week or tomorrow? Or as what is going to happen in the war here? I mean, like, there's a lot of this stuff that we're going to find out. Well, if this happens, then you're going to go here or here. This happens, but nope. So I would suggest to people, and I fit into this before, where it's often I'd watch videos and be like, I want someone to tell me the answer. I would suggest to see it slightly different. It's not a situation where it's like you can get your calculator out on this. There's a lot of unknowns in how they play out and where something pops up. Or maybe the guy who runs out of silver in Vietnam, is just that one shop, or maybe it turns out that was where the tipping point was, like kind of like we saw out of India.
Yeah.
How much how much more silver is going to come out of the COMEX? If someone knows wants to know what's going to happen to the silver price, I'd say start there. Now, of course, there's about 500 million ounces. So, which person owns each ounce and what price are they going to be willing to send some back at? I don't know. We can make educated guesses or some of these things. I don't even know if the guesses would be all that educated, but you're dealing in some uncharted territory and there's human nature involved. And fortunately, though, I think you don't need to know every single detail or what tomorrow's going to look like to make good decisions and plan accordingly and pay attention to the things that are going to impact what you're doing and work around that. And I think if people focus more on that rather than was silver going to go up or down tomorrow or was down $3 over the last 2 days. All right, it was also up $17 over the last 2 months. So you can look at it however you want. In the end, I don't think you need to be getting those details right to be making good decisions so that you and your family and your career and whatever you're doing are safe. And I would say the more that people can, and I say this as someone who did the exact opposite and have worked very hard on this over the past 15 years in particular to get to the point where, all right, government's going to do what government's going to do. Gold and silver is going to go up and down yet. All right. I'm gonna go out and continue learning so that I'm gonna be successful in my life, whether gold goes up or silver goes down. And in that sense that you hear during the Great Depression or any of these other crises, there were people who understood things. And yes, there were a lot of people who get clobbered, but all right, how do I put myself in that bucket? And I think just focusing on that more than the day-to-day, again, they're both have their rightful place, but hopefully that's just a good thing to keep in mind that could be helpful.
Yeah, so my last question is how soon do you believe the digital ID and digital currencies and a social credit system will be implemented in the United States? We've seen the Stable Coins Act passed this year. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know that it's a guarantee that we're going to go down the entirely Orwellian path that many often assume. Is it possible? Yes. I don't spend as much time digging into the updates of that, although I'll say it feels to me like it's kind of lessened as a concern. I don't know if that means that there's less people talking about it or if the actual risk has gone down. I would also point out that there are some things where government says we're going to do this, yet they don't get really implemented in the way that they're suggesting, of which the confiscation of gold in 1933 or 34, they said they were confiscating it, although my understanding is that most people just told them to stiff it and didn't turn in the gold. So
Yeah, that's true.
sometimes these plans backfire. Hey, if you have gold and silver, then certainly that's one of the advantages where you can have something that is outside of their system. So if somebody, and again, I'm not saying my views on digital ID are right. So if somebody knows better than me and we're about to get that rammed down our throat, well, then one of the advantages of gold and silver is that's addressing that to some capacity. I hope it doesn't happen. Do I think that's a good free way of life? No, although, again, to what I said earlier, if that did happen, then somewhere in there, I mean, there's going to be a lot of emotion. Of course, if they implement something like that, it'd be right to be ticked off, right to think it's disgusting if you do. And although, just would say as much as possible to keep the thinking focused on, all right, I did what I could to see that we wouldn't get to this outcome, but if this is where the defense is playing, how do I go here?
Yeah.
And I think because part of it, and I know this happens a lot in gold and silver in particular, and I've been guilty of it, and I guess I've expressed it at some time, so maybe helped other people fall into this trap, but it's like if you sit around waiting for the world to end. I mean, maybe it will, maybe it won't, but there's some degree to which, like, if you're just like sitting around worrying, like, fuck, 10 years, this might happen, or hey, might this or that. I mean, yeah, there's a rightful place to be concerned and think about things, but make sure that you get more of that time balance to, like, all right, well, maybe AI is going to automate all the things. Okay, so if that the case that happens, what would I do? And how can I start? Maybe I'll start learning about AI or how I can help a business actually use it. Let's say if anyone's concerned financially, about their career, like, is my job going to be automated? Spend some time learning about this stuff because most businesses hear a ton about it, but very few actually know, okay, AI, that's great. What does that mean? Oh, well, I have this, and I use them to do that, and it drives this business wing of our thing. So, I mean, again, stuff is going to change, but if we're thinking, less of what, I think is how it should be or what's fair, and, just keeping an eye and updating. All right. Well, I thought that yesterday. The new information came out. I'm here today. What is my best step forward? I don't know. I'll check back in 50 years if I'm still here. But I mean, that's my thinking. And also, having spent a good amount of time in the past 10 or 20 years studying people and who are just successful in different areas of life, I find that's a common trait. It's probably a lot better than just like thinking, oh, we're gonna get nuked tomorrow, like, oh, and running around screaming in the streets. So that's my thoughts on the digital ID. Hopefully I don't ever end up having one, and I'll be glad if I have some gold and silver if they do that. And hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, and I appreciate your insight, Chris. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the video?
No, I think we covered most of it. Although I'll point out, I did actually do a silver report, which was quite extensive. We released it in early September, right as silver was getting up to $50. Actually, can you go to, well, there's the YouTube channel. So we're talking about this stuff, and there's my partner Vince. We've actually been doing some more on the live tab there.
Okay, let's look at the live.
Yeah, so there, we're talking about yesterday's bloodbath. So we have videos about these things. Also, there is a Substack at goldandsilverdaily.substack.com, which is where that silver report was. And I'll send you the link, Alexander. Maybe you can put that in the show notes. And
Definitely.
but I mean, there's a written column as well, so designed so that, especially if you have a different career and aren't sitting here watching this stuff all day, it's a column each day of basically what's happened that, you can read, not 20 pages long, but something simple that you can really stay up to date with what's going on. And that was the goal of it. And yeah, arcadiaeconomics.com and on YouTube and on Substack too. Yeah, and we're almost, thanks for highlighting that. I've spent the last year making a second edition where we cleaned up a few things. Also, the silver report has been added to the new edition, as well as an interview with Vince Lancey where we cover everything that happened. Because Alexander, you see, that was published on June 18th, 2020.
Yeah.
So you know what the price of silver was when we put this baby out there?
$17.
Wow, this guy is good. I think it was $17.62 was what I looked up on that date, which A shows your trading prowess. And that was right before silver finally shot through $20. Then a couple months later, you had JP Morgan find $920 million. So we have an update that covers everything that happened since the original version was published, and that'll be hopefully within a month will be available. So it's been
Well,
fun covering what's been a historic time in finance, and it's also been fun being here with you again today. So I really appreciate you having me, and hopefully you'll be able to find a time in between your autograph sessions, and I get to ask you the questions next time.
Oh yeah,
Everything
definitely.
I couldn't come up with a specific answer for, and they're like, enough explanation, give me an answer. We'll get you on there, and you can slam dunk at home.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, we definitely should keep in touch, I don't know, every month or so. And definitely, I really appreciate your insight and coming on the show and telling us all this information with the gold and silver market. So thank you again, Chris. And I'd just like to thank the viewers for watching the video. Please go and subscribe to Chris Marcus's channel and follow him, buy his book, and I think that would be great. And thanks again for everyone who's watching. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you, my friend. Great to see you again.
Thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you, Alexander, and thank you to everyone who is watching at home. Sure hope you had fun being here today, and that even despite the price action of the last day or two, that you're still doing well and having fun out there. Although I might add and highly recommend to go over to the Free American Press, Alexander's channel on YouTube. There you had David Morgan on. Also gets a lot of geopolitical commentators. And there's G. Edward Griffin. So a lot of different people you know. Joseph Farrell, and getting into the political and economic commentary. And hopefully you enjoyed meeting Alexander. I'll make sure we get him back on the show soon because it's fun to talk with him. But I will have the link to that in the description field below. And to get another taste for Alexander's great channel and hear what David Morgan had to say when he was on there 4 days ago, well, that one is coming right now.